Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Thursday, July 22nd. OC announces 75th anniversary plans by Ruth Campbell. Come September 1st, Odessa College will kick off a year-long celebration to mark reaching 75 years of serving the community. The day's festivities start at 9 a.m. for the community, OC alumni and employees and students, and will culminate in a live concert by the Little River Band at 7 p.m. at the Actor Theater. At 10 a.m., the groundbreaking for the 83,000-square-foot, four-story Wood Health Sciences Building, a pep rally with the OC Blues dance team and the OC Drumline, and a hospitality and VIP room in the Salisbury Campus Center. Afternoon activities will include campus tours from 1 to 4 p.m., showcasing schools and programs on and off campus, including the Sewell Auto Tech facility, which opened in the spring of 2020. Department Chair of Visual and Performing Arts Eric Baker said this will be part of the Music Masters series. We have some fans in the house, so please mark that date on your calendar, September 1st, 7 o'clock at the Actor Theater, again in partnership with Music Masters series and Odessa Arts, Baker said. OC President Gregory Williams said he was excited to announce the anniversary and that September 1st will be a wonderful day. As you think about 75 years, Odessa College has been a concept. Odessa College has helped so many people, has changed so many lives. It has given so many individuals hope. There were people who didn't think they were college material, and they showed up in Odessa College's doors, and some of our wonderful professors helped them to realize their potential. There were people who were amazing students in high school, but did not have great resources and didn't think college was for them, didn't feel they could go to a university, didn't think they had the resources to make that happen. And Odessa College showed them the way. That's what we are about. We're about helping. We're about hope. We're about opportunities, and we're about finding a way to get the job done for 75 years, Williams said. The exciting part is preparing for the next 75 years, he added. So we thought we'd throw in a brand new building, just for those people who thought we were getting a little stale, a brand new health sciences building, the tallest building in the history of our institution, the most technologically advanced building in this institution, with its own little hospital floor on the first floor, just to get us excited and to help individuals to be inspired to do great work, Williams said. While it's a joyous occasion to reach 75 years, Williams said you also feel a responsibility to make sure it endures. So my job is to make it better, to continue to be innovative and to keep our community with us and supporting what we're trying to do, but while also bringing our community along from an educational standpoint and continuing to look at what's possible for them and helping them, Williams said. Jackie Gore, Vice President of Advancement, Business, and Governmental Relations, is an OC graduate. I think Odessa College reaching 75 years is exciting. We're looking forward to the celebration with the entire community, our alumni, employees, students, and retirees. Odessa College has made an impact here for a very long time. As I go to community events, I'm hard-pressed to find someone who didn't attend Odessa College at some point. Maybe they didn't complete their degree, but they attended a class or two through the years. So Odessa College has touched a lot of people, Gore said. Odessa College has really touched my family. Both of my parents attended Odessa College. My dad attended in the early 70s, using his GI Bill to learn how to weld, and reared our family as a contract welder for many years here in the Permian Basin. My mother took classes in the early 70s, and went on to be a secretary and bookkeeper, she added. I attended classes here before I transferred off to Texas State. My brother attended here and got his CDL, and he's had a successful career as a truck driver. So just in my own immediate family, my daughters have both attended dual credit courses and transferred on to universities with 40-plus hours apiece of dual credit hours, thanks to Odessa College. So personally, my family has been impacted greatly by Odessa College, and we're so thankful and fortunate Odessa College is here. But now, as an employee, I get to see firsthand so many students who are positively impacted by Odessa College, Gore said. $95 million water treatment project up in the air by Federico Martinez. The Odessa City Council this week admitted publicly for the first time that they may have to scrap their scheduled July 27th vote to use certificates of obligation to pay for a $95 million rehabilitation of the current water plant. That's because the Ector County Republican Party has until the start of the July 27th council meeting to turn in petitions that would instead place a $95 million CO issue on a future ballot and instead allow voters to decide whether the city should proceed with the rehabilitation project. COs only require a vote by council to proceed. It's all hypothetical at this point until July 27th, Mayor Javier Hoven said during council's Tuesday work session. Hoven, who supports a public vote, and council briefly discussed next week's possible scenarios and what might happen if the GOP successfully forces a public vote. Council agreed to cut their discussion short until they see what happens next week. City Secretary Norma Grimaldo, who oversees city elections, said the GOP has until the start of council's July 27th meeting to submit a minimum of 2,798 voter signatures, or 5% of the total number of current registered voters, which is 55,950. As of Wednesday, the Republican group had not submitted the petitions, city officials confirmed. GOP Chairwoman Tisha Crow could not be reached for comment. Assistant City Manager of Administrative Services Cindy Muncie told council that if they approve the COs next Tuesday, the city would receive the funds by October 12th, and work on the water plant could likely begin by the end of the year. If the GOP submits the required number of signatures in time, things become a little more complicated, Muncie said. The signatures would have to be verified and approved by the Ector County Elections Office before an election could be scheduled, Muncie explained. The problem, Muncie explained, is that the County Elections Office will be closed during the first 2 weeks of August because election staff will be attending an out-of-town training session. County election officials have said they could have staff review and verify the petition signatures prior to their departure, but would have to charge the city for employee overtime to do the work, Muncie said. The cost to the city would depend on how many election staff members are needed and how many hours they work. Muncie said the city would also need to work with the GOP on ballot language if the bond goes to a public vote. Citizens would need to understand that the intent is to repay the bond with water and sewer funds, not property taxes, Muncie said. A social media push this week incorrectly states that property taxes will be used to repay the CO. The certificates of obligation route appears to have enough council votes to be approved. Council members Mary Willis, Tom Sprawls, Steve Thompson, and Detra White in June voted in favor of pursuing certificates of obligation bond to pay for the water treatment plant rehabilitation. Hoven, Mark Mata, and Denise Swanner voted against because they favored the idea of having voters decide the issue. A majority 4-3 vote is required to approve the COs. If voters defeated the bond request, the city would not be able to pursue a CO for 3 years, Muncie has previously warned council. City administrators have said the 60-year-old water treatment plant is in dire need of repairs and upgrading, and warned the system could fail at any time, potentially leaving thousands of Odessans without water. The proposed rehabilitation project would include extensive upgrades to the current plant's electrical and computer systems, chemical feed and filter systems, and chemical storage facility, Public Works Director Tom Kerr has previously told council. Hoven has repeatedly questioned city officials' claims that the water treatment facility is in dire straits. Hoven has said that the cost of an election would be about $100,000. Crow recently disputed Hoven's figure, stating she believes the cost would be much less. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 17,818 total cases, 379 deaths. Midland County, 19,578 total cases, 274 deaths. Texas, 3,044,072 total cases, 52,839 deaths. U.S. cases, 34,030,494 total confirmed and 607,289 deaths. Quick hits. Annual back-to-school drive. The Gavin Norris Law Office has scheduled its second annual back-to-school drive from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday at Bethlehem Baptist Church, 1000 West Clement Street. This is a drive-up event. To maintain safety, remain in your vehicle. More than 300 backpacks with school supplies will be given away to K through 12 students. Child must be present to receive a backpack. The Gavin Norris Law Office is partnering with Bethlehem Baptist Church and their weekly food pantry to provide needy families with food and school supplies while supplies last. For more information, call the Gavin Norris Law Office at 432-279-0858. Hot Summer Nights. Odessa Arts will present Hot Summer Nights featuring Current 9 Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., socially distanced, inside the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. Tickets required. Free tickets are available at hotsummernightsodessa.com. General admission seating will be available at the door, first come, first serve. The last event featuring Mariachi Armonia will be held outdoors July 30th at the Newell Heritage Plaza. The Ector Theater will be conducting maintenance that day. Bring lawn chairs. Admission is free. No tickets required. For more information, call 432-337-1492 or visit odessaarts.org. Back to School Block Party. City of Odessa Code Enforcement, along with Hannah Law Firm, has scheduled a back-to-school block party Friday and Saturday at McKinney Park Spray Ground, 625 West Poole Road. The events will take place from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and from 9 a.m. to noon Saturday. There will be free snow cones, music, movie in the park Friday, door prizes, free school supplies and backpacks for the first 600 kids Saturday, car show, t-shirts, and more. Free COVID-19 vaccines will be available for those who wish to receive them. These events are free and open to the public. Governor's Volunteer Awards. The nomination deadline for the 38th Annual Governor's Volunteer Awards have been extended. Submissions will close Friday. The Governor's Volunteer Awards are administered by One Star Foundation and are an opportunity for the state of Texas to honor the exemplary service and volunteerism of individuals and organizations, making a significant impact in communities across Texas. Nominations for the awards are open in 9 categories: Governor's Lifetime Volunteer Achievement Award, First Lady's Youth Volunteer Rising Star Award, Volunteer of the Year Award, Volunteer Family of the Year Award, Corporate Volunteering Champion Award, Service Learning Champion Award, Innovation in Volunteerism Award, Excellence in Disaster Volunteerism Award, National Service Make a Difference Award. This year, the Governor's Volunteer Awards is introducing 3 new award categories. The general public is asked to submit nominations for individuals and organizations who exemplify service and volunteerism that makes a significant impact in their local community across Texas. For descriptions of the award categories or to nominate an individual or organization, visit onestarfoundation.org/governors-volunteer-awards. Awardees will be honored in the fall at an evening reception at the Governor's Mansion, hosted by Honorary Chair of the Governor's Volunteer Awards, Texas First Lady Cecilia Abbott. For more information, visit onestarfoundation.org/governors-volunteer-awards. UTPB to offer first responder certificate in Spanish. The University of Texas Permian Basin will offer a first responder certificate in Spanish. The certificate is being offered completely online, which will provide flexibility for students who are likely already in the workforce as paramedics, EMTs, firefighters, or other healthcare professionals. We see the need to offer more Spanish opportunities, especially healthcare, said Perla Abrego, Associate Professor of Spanish and Undergraduate Coordinator of the Spanish Program at UTPB. Healthcare professionals and first responders are essential workers, and it's important to UT Permian Basin to offer additional training to this industry. The Permian Basin has a large Hispanic community, and in a medical emergency, our first responders need to be able to communicate with their patient, she added. The U.S. Hispanic population has grown to more than 60 million, and more than 3.1 million Spanish-speaking households reported limited English proficiency in 2019. It's clear there is a critical need for Spanish-speaking emergency personnel. UT Permian Basin's 9-credit-hour certificate program delivers a solid foundation in oral and written medical Spanish proficiencies and the cultural competence required to deal effectively with a growing Spanish-speaking population. The program includes an introductory study of medical terminology in Spanish and the creative use of Spanish language in simulated conversations that mirror real-life professional situations. The certificate program will start this fall, and there is still time to apply. The application deadline is August 9th. To learn more about the course, tuition, and requirements, visit the UTPB website. Email studentinquiries@online.utpb.edu or call 866-701-7515. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Thursday, July 22nd. Kathy Copeland Stokes was born in Odessa on August 20, 1951, to Glenna Smith and J.B. Copeland. She is survived by her husband Bobby Stokes, sons Chad Brannon and wife Katie, Josh Brannon and wife Priscilla, daughters Misty and Callie Stokes, sister Carla McIntosh and husband T. She is preceded in death by her mother and father, sister Karen Perry and grandson Travis Scott. Visitation will be held at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brady on Monday, July 26th at 10 a.m. Funeral services will be held at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brady on Monday, July 26th at 11 a.m. with Pastor Lynn Lubke officiating. Burial will be at Rest Haven Cemetery. Please view Mrs. Stokes' online memorial at www.heritagefuneralhomes.com. Albert Peanut Calderon Villegas, 54, of Odessa, passed away on July 16th in Odessa. Visitation was held Wednesday, July 21st. A rosary was held Wednesday, July 21st, at Martinez Funeral Home outside chapel. Funeral Mass will be celebrated on Thursday, July 22nd, at 10 a.m. at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Albert was born April 26, 1967, in Odessa, to Salvador and Aurora Villegas. He is preceded in death by his father, Salvador Olivas Villegas, his maternal and paternal grandparents, and many other beloved family members. He will be supremely missed by his wife, Priscilla Corrales Villegas and son Joshua Anthony Villegas of Odessa, his mother of Odessa, brothers Tony Villegas and wife Olivia from Glen Heights, Texas, Frank Villegas of Odessa and Salvador Villegas Jr., and wife Ruby from Hobbs, New Mexico, sisters Belinda Porras and husband Joe of Odessa, Sulema Rios and husband Lupe of Hobbs, New Mexico, Anita Arredondo and husband Roy of Mendota, Illinois. Services are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Darcus Marcel Sutherland, 96 years young, passed away peacefully on July 20th in Odessa. She was born on December 11, 1924, in Grice, Texas, to Marion Harrison and Ethel Burnett Harrison. Marcel was preceded in death by her parents, husband Chuck, brother Herschel Harrison, and sister Mary Jo Moody. She is survived by her daughter Patty Thrasher and husband Bill of Odessa, one grandson and one granddaughter. She is also survived by 5 great-grandchildren and several nieces and nephews with their families. Burial will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland on July 22nd at 9 a.m. A memorial service will follow, interment at 11 a.m. July 22nd at Stonegate Fellowship, Odessa. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Books Are the Beginning, 2625 Rolling Oaks, San Marcos, Texas, 78666, or Home Hospice of Odessa. Esteban Nuncio Verzosa, 79, of Odessa, died Wednesday, July 21st, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, July 23rd, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Odessa 2 section. Family and friends are officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Bobby Jean Hedrick Sr., 81, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 20th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Thursday, July 22nd at Cornerstone Assembly of God Church. Pastor Thompson is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, July 17th, 2021. Letters to the Editor. Trost thoughtful at council meeting. At last Tuesday's city council meeting, I was struck by 2 things. First, most council members seem to embrace the philosophy that all development is good development, even when it is undisputed that the development will decrease the values of existing homes. Even when given compelling arguments, Lori Long and 5 other council members sided with an out-of-state developer. I was very disappointed. Second, City Council Member Michael Trost revealed himself to be thoughtful, prepared, and committed to protecting neighborhoods. I am proud that he is one of our city leaders. I will definitely support Michael Trost should he seek re-election to the Midland City Council. Constance Hardy. Petty isn't the villain here. Your July 9th headline story concerning former prosecutor Ralph Petty does a disservice to an honest man, fine lawyer, dedicated public servant, and a good friend. I've known Mr. Petty for more than 30 years, during which time he served Midland County with distinction. He received the Prosecutor of the Year Award from the Texas District and County Attorneys Association. He freely shared his encyclopedic knowledge of Texas criminal law with judges, prosecutors, and defense lawyers, even when the law favored his opponent's position. He mentored dozens of novice prosecutors and always stressed that honesty and fairness were essential to the job. The judges of Midland County liked him and admired him and often asked for his assistance. It's ironic that his troubles were caused by a request for assistance from one of our most admired judges, a request which would have been hard for any lawyer to turn down. Mr. Petty is not the villain, but the fall guy in this sad story. Clinton Young's lawyers are doing what they can to throw sand in the gears of the death penalty machinery. Had the state elected to seek a life death sentence instead of the death penalty, hundreds of thousands of dollars could have been saved, along with Mr. Petty's good name. Woody Leverett.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, July 17, 2021. Viewpoints. Leadership in transition. It is time to pass the torch. Kate Williamson, UTPB. A few years ago, I was leading a local charity's big fundraiser when an upset patron approached me during setup the morning of the event. She asked me who I was, where I was from, and proceeded to critique many angles of the event. Was it helpful? Yes and no. As someone new to the area at the time, I was experienced in the execution of significant events. I thought I was ready to lead. However, I had not yet consulted all the experienced volunteers who managed the event before me. I did not have a full view of what was expected. I learned from that experience that I needed to respect her feedback, though I wish it was not delivered the morning of the big event. At the same time, the veterans of the organization had not taken the time to get to know the younger volunteers and impart their knowledge. They assumed we knew the importance of certain things related to this event. What resulted was unproductive, but immensely instructive, and it demonstrated what Becky Spurlock, the VP of Student Affairs and Leadership at UTPB, recently shared with me. Succession planning is the key responsibility of any leader. As a result of this experience, over what is now closer to a decade, I have spent time getting to know the local visionaries in leadership and volunteerism in our community. I clearly see a generation that is ready to pass the torch. But much like the patron who gave me her 2 cents about that event many years ago, that generation wants to know they can do so safely. They have spent a lot of time, talent, and treasure being caretakers of our nonprofits, companies, and other organizations here. Look around, and you will see nonprofits strategically planning for the leadership of their staff and boards. Under 40s are slowly being elected to various positions on city council and the school board. Oil and gas companies are hiring capable, recent college graduates whose parents may have fled Midland in the 80s, vowing never to return. I see babies everywhere I turn. All this points to a changing demographic in Midland and the need, now more than ever, for this younger generation to get involved to create and sustain this community. As Tim Leach recently and correctly noted, we must act now to make the life that our citizens can live out here and be attractive to a new generation. Let me be clear. I am not suggesting that the younger generation barrel through and stage some radical takeover. There are structures in place to prepare for getting more involved. The Nonprofit Management Center offers a class wherein participants learn about board service. The Midland Chamber of Commerce offers leadership training through Leadership Midland. And as the new executive director of the Shepherd Leadership Institute, call me if you need help finding a place to connect. I promise I will find a way to use your skills. What I am saying is, if the younger generation of leaders is to be taken seriously by those who have led this place we call home, we must be willing to show up. Moreover, if you are a member of the Midland Old Guard, may I suggest you find someone to mentor. Reach outside of your comfort zone. It's part of your responsibility as stewards of this community. And in doing so, you will make way for a new generation of leaders. Our community has changed, and we must change with it. Look around. Don't go to the usual places. Find someone who does not look like you, who did not grow up here, or maybe someone who did, but in a different Midland zip code. As Brené Brown says in her leadership manifesto, what we ask is that you engage with us, show up beside us, and learn from us. Use your seat at the table to bring along someone who would not otherwise have a seat. Furthermore, as difficult as it may be, pass the torch. Our community will be better for it. Kate Williamson is the executive director of the Shepherd Leadership Institute at UTPB and the chair-elect of Midland Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. Scholarship, photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. University of Texas Permian Basin new student Aaron Vasquez Center receives a $10,000 scholarship during student orientation with his family and UTPB President Sandra Woodley Center left Monday in UTPB's Science and Technology Building. Vasquez is an Andrews High School graduate. The scholarship is part of a months-long campaign to encourage students to register for our Falcon Days. Everyone who registered for either the November 2020 or February 2021 Falcon Day was entered to win the scholarship. Andrews student gets boost to attend UTPB. By Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Incoming University of Texas Permian Basin freshman Aaron Vasquez officially got a financial boost toward his college education Monday with the presentation of a $10,000 scholarship. Vasquez, who will study music, received the scholarship by signing up for Falcon Days, the new student orientation at UTPB. About 90 students attended the event. Vasquez is an Andrews High School graduate and is a vocalist who will be studying music at UTPB. For a Texas resident, tuition fees, room and board come to $20,570 per year. For non-resident international students, it comes to $32,840. Tuition and fees for Texas residents is $9,234, and for non-resident international students, it's $21,504, according to the UTPB website. I was really shocked at first, like, no way. There's no way that they just chose me. But after that, it just processed through and maybe gave me more motivation to go to school, Vasquez said. Vasquez is most looking forward to being involved in music when he starts attending UTPB this year. He chose UTPB so he could be closer to his family, and he plans to live in campus. Vasquez said they performed their Texas Music Educators Association concert at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, where the music program is housed. I'll enjoy it, he said, of spending time in the venue. He added that he has had a class with Frank Eichner, associate professor in the music program. Music in college is a whole lot of a bigger game than in high school, and that's something that I'm really going to have to get used to, Vasquez said. Students who are still in high school, Vasquez said, should fill out almost every application they can to see what funding they can obtain. He also has other scholarships in addition to the $10,000. Aaron's parents, Lisa and Lucio Vasquez, were on hand for the event, along with Aaron's brother, Adam. At first, Lisa Vasquez said she wasn't sure of the scholarship amount, but when she saw the email, she was really excited. She added that the family is thrilled about the scholarship and that it will help their family a lot. It definitely motivated him more to come to school, and just he's super excited about it, Lisa Vasquez said. Continuing the celebration into the general orientation, Vasquez was presented with an oversized check for his scholarship, along with balloons in the UTPB colors. UTPB President Sandra Woodley said the university offers high-quality academics in an environment with small classes where professors know the students' names. Students also will have a UT education. We also have fun here, you'll see today. You'll learn about our 16 intercollegiate athletic sports. So if you're playing or if you're on one of those teams, we welcome you here as an athlete, Woodley said. If not, Woodley said, there are many other organizations and activities students can be part of. There's something for everyone here to do. We're really excited to have you here. We also are very laser-focused on the student experience. Here, students are number one for the University of Texas Permian Basin, so you get that University of Texas education, but we also want you to have a really wonderful, nurturing experience meeting new friends, enjoying the facilities and getting to know the professors, Woodley said. Woodley added that she is a little bit of a mama bear when it comes to students and tries to make sure there is nothing standing in their way. Plans are underway for a campus transformation, including outdoor furniture and a place to plug in electronics, a complete library renovation for a makerspace, space for undergraduate research, and a big amphitheater for esports, she said. Vice President of Enrollment Management P.J. Wilson said there are many scholarships available to students for academics, needs-based grants, scholarships related to majors, extra and co-curricular groups. What we try to do is we try to put together a financial aid package that makes it really possible for students to come, Wilson said. He added that there is probably more money available for students now. Wilson has been in his job for a little more than a year. We're lucky in one sense because the state of Texas invests heavily in higher education. Some of the best funding provided by a state that I've ever seen. They really want students to get an education and go on and be successful. And my perception is that that's increased. I don't know whether that's true because I've just got here, as you know. But I also know that our development office works really, really hard to get more scholarships from donors. And we've actually done a better job in the last year getting that information out to students so that they can know how to apply for scholarships. And the past few years, they can consider you automatically. Now, students can actually request ones that they match for, Wilson said. If you have any kind of need, we often can cover all the students' tuition and fees, and sometimes even some of their living expenses. And that's through a combination of the state who really cares, the federal government and Pell Grants for students, and then our own commitment, Wilson said. Federal CARES funding also has helped provide needs-based grants for students who have been affected by COVID, Wilson said. So many students have been affected, just about everybody in one way or another. We're doing a combination of asking students to let us know so that we can get them that funding and also identifying students on our own, Wilson added. Gromiko Ngayap, 18, attended high school in Houston, but decided to do his first year at UTPB before transferring. He is in the Coordinated Admission Program. Ngayap said this was his first time on the UTPB campus. I like the campus and environment. The people seem really nice. The staff is really helpful, and there is just a very positive vibe. Visit the UTPB website, utpb.edu.
Odessa American, Sunday, July 18th, 2021.
Obituaries.
Odessa. Lacey Nicole Nikki Dotson, age 41, passed away unexpectedly on Thursday, July 15th, 2021, at her home in Odessa. Nikki was born in Odessa on January 17, 1980, to Matt and Ray Dotson Jr. and the late Linda Catherine Daniels Dotson. Those left to cherish her love and memory include her father, Butch Dotson, siblings Lainey Kidd and her husband Kevin, and Matt Dotson, niece and nephew Peyton and Hayden Kidd, and many aunts, uncles, and cousins. Visitation will be at Acres West Funeral Chapel on Wednesday, July 21st from 1 to 9 p.m., Graveside services will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery on Thursday, July 22, 2021 at 10 a.m. Pastor John Hendricks will officiate. Services are entrusted to Acres West, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Midland. Stuart Allen Kunkel passed peacefully from this life Saturday, May 29, 2021. Rosary and visitation were held Tuesday, June 1, 2021 at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa, Texas from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. A funeral service to commemorate his life was held Wednesday, June 2, 2021 at 10 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Odessa, Texas. Stuart was born in Odessa, Texas He will be greatly missed by his wife Laura and his son Isaac of Odessa, Texas, his mother Martha Kunkel, his sister Elizabeth Thompson, and niece Ella Thompson. Odessa, Barbo Chapel, 73 of Odessa, Texas, was called home to her Heavenly Father on December 18, 2020. A memorial service will take place Saturday, July 24, 2021, at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Odessa, Texas, beginning at 10 a.m. Barbo was born on April 15, 1947, in Chicago, Illinois. Barbara is survived by her husband, Dr. Robert Bob Chappelle Jr., sons and daughters-in-law, Shane and Kirsty Sumlin, Richard and Nikki Sumlin, daughter and daughter-in-law, Dr. Catherine Chappell and Mrs. Hollis Laird, daughter and son-in-law, Elizabeth and Evan Aldrich, grandchildren Maggie and Cash Sumlin, Sydney and Gibson Sumlin, Kaysen and Everett Aldrich, along with many other family members and countless friends. Those who desire to make memorial donations in memory of Barbara to Westminster Presbyterian Church in Odessa, Texas, Ector County Education Foundation, Ella Noel Art Museum, or Presbyterian Church of Ruston in Ruston, Louisiana. Burleson, graveside service for Wanda Rose Henderson Johnson, 93, of Burleson, formerly of Odessa, will be conducted at 11 a.m. Monday, July 19, 2021, in the Coleman City Cemetery in Coleman, Texas. Wanda Rose Henderson Johnson passed away July 15, 2021, in Burleson at a retirement center. Wanda was born in Coleman County to Morcom and Rose Henderson on January 24, 1928. Wanda is survived by two children, Denise and her husband Gordon Peppard of Burleson, Tommy Ray Johnson of Gordonville, two granddaughters, Crystal and husband Travis Larson of Round Rock, Kristen Rose of Edmond, Oklahoma, and four great-grandchildren.
Does E-Totalac affect the vaccine? To your good health for Thursday. Dear Dr. Roach, prior to and on the day of my first Pfizer COVID vaccine in January, I had been taking Etodolac, Lodine, for osteoarthritis. Following my first vaccine, I became concerned that the anti-inflammatory might affect the vaccine's effectiveness and searched in vain for information on this topic. I contacted my doctor about my concern, and he suggested I stop taking the medication 3 days before and after the second vaccine, which I did. Am I walking around with only partial protection as a result of the impact of having taken the anti-inflammatories at the time of the first injection? With millions of people suffering from arthritis, I have to believe that some of them would have been in the medical trials. I never feel really safe, even though I'm totally vaccinated now. Dr. Roach writes, the reduction in effectiveness in a vaccine due to taking an anti-inflammatory or Tylenol prior to the vaccine is theoretical and based only on antibody studies. The effect, if any, is likely to be small. The second vaccine causes the body to make a much larger number of antibodies. Your second dose was not affected by any possible reduction from anti-inflammatory arthritis medicine, so you have no reason to worry. No vaccine is perfect, but the real-world data from the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines show exceptional effectiveness. A few people have gotten COVID-19 following the vaccine, but far fewer than was expected, and only very few were so ill they required hospitalization.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, July 22nd. Wife can't convey uncertainty of pregnancy to husband. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been together for 8 years, married for 2. We recently started discussing having a family. I have polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, and it may be difficult for me to get pregnant. I suffered a miscarriage earlier this year. Until it happened, I didn't realize how badly I wanted a baby. We both feel we are ready to be parents. However, I'm terrified that I won't be able to conceive or that I'll lose the baby again. My husband is so optimistic. He thinks everything will be fine and as soon as we decide to get pregnant, it will happen. I have tried explaining PCOS to him, but he seems oblivious to what could be a reality. I don't know how to get through to him so he won't be severely disappointed if having biological children isn't in the cards for us. Do you have any suggestions? Signed, Troubled in Tennessee. Dear Troubled, please accept my sympathy for your miscarriage. Because you haven't been able to get through to your husband that the road to parenthood may be bumpy, enlist the assistance of your OBGYN or your fertility specialist to explain it to him. That way, if what you fear is true, you can better support each other. I wish you both good luck on this journey. Dear Abby, I am 56 and I had an affair with a woman I met 17 years ago. We grew close, and 5 years later, we moved in together. We separated 5 years after that, but stayed friends. At that time, her daughter, Chloe, and I developed feelings for each other. Chloe's mom became sick 2 years ago and has now passed away. I love Chloe, but she doesn't want anyone to know about our affair. I don't see how we can hide this any longer. Do you think this relationship will work out? Signed, Pondering in California. Dear Pondering, you're asking the wrong woman. It's time for you to have a serious talk with Chloe to ask why she doesn't want anyone to know about the affair. Her answer will tell you everything you need to know about where your future is or is not heading. Dear Abby, my dad has a hearing problem. Every night he nods off in his recliner. When it's time for me to go to bed and I turn the TV off, he turns it right back on instead of just going to bed like he should. I'm one of those people who needs quiet in order to fall asleep. Abby, this has been going on since I moved in here with my parents. I have done everything I can think of, but he just keeps doing it, and I am ready to explode. Signed, Irritated Daughter. Dear Daughter, have you tried enlisting your mother's help in getting through to your father? Have you tried earphones for him and earplugs for you? If the answer to these questions is yes, then you are either going to have to adjust or, for the sake of your health and sanity, find another place to live.
Muscle cramping and sciatic type pain. Dear Dr. Roach, 9 years ago I had two surgeries related to spinal stenosis, fusing C4 to C7 and L5 to S1. I'm concerned about two relatively new issues, extreme muscle cramping in my neck, and more concerning, a sciatic type pain that starts developing after about an hour of driving, a pain that significantly increases over the next hour. Stopping and walking for a few minutes alleviates the pain and allows me to continue driving. Any suggestions to correct these issues? I'm 70 years old. Answer. Fusion is commonly performed in surgical treatment for spinal stenosis, a condition where the spinal cord or one of the nerve roots is compressed by the hard structures in and around the spine. Unfortunately, fusion at one or more levels of the spine tends to put more pressure on the remaining areas. And people who develop spinal stenosis in one part of the spine may do so in another part of the spine. I think it is worth a reevaluation, which may include imaging studies, to look for any areas of nerve compression. The major symptoms of spinal stenosis are pain, numbness, and weakness. Cramping is not a common symptom, so I would be concerned there may be something else going on. Your regular doctor is probably the best place to start. Sisters proselytizing impacts man's social life. Dear Abby, I have a much older sister who has become very religious. Most of her life decisions are based on her faith, so conversations tend to develop into faith-oriented topics and justifications. I don't initiate these conversations, and I make a genuine effort to understand her perspective. When I am not able to, I have mastered the smile and nod. My problem is, any time I bring a friend or date to a family function, she drags them off to the side and begins to question and discuss the importance of faith. Since religion is a widely varied and highly sensitive topic, this can sometimes be uncomfortable. I recently asked her to stop doing it, and I haven't heard from her since. How can I explain healthy boundaries to her so we can have a respectful relationship? Younger brother in Georgia. Dear younger brother, if part of your sister's religion is advancing it or converting others to her faith, you won't be able to convince her to stop. I agree that what she's doing can come across as obnoxious. Because you can't control what she says or does, you may have to stop bringing friends or dates to family functions where you know she'll be present. Otherwise, warn them in advance so they can either avoid being cornered or get away from her. Dear Abby, my boyfriend was my first crush in grade 8. We are in our late 40s now. He was in a relationship for 17 years with a woman who has 3 daughters. One hasn't talked to either parent in years. The other 2 drink, use drugs, and have kids of their own. They often ask to borrow money but never pay it back. One of them asked me for enough to put down a deposit for rent on a house. I have 2 of my own children, and my exes don't support them, so I'm wondering how responsible I am for his ex-girlfriend's kids. Not gonna happen. Dear not gonna. You have no legal, moral, or ethical obligation to the children your boyfriend raised with his former girlfriend. Stick to your guns, dear lady, because you are off the hook if you have the backbone to stay that way. Dear Abby, I am a 50-year-old male. When I interact with a woman whose name I don't know, I address her as dear. Surprisingly, many of them respond in a negative way, regardless of age. Is it wrong to call someone dear? And if so, what should I call them if I don't know their name? Unsure in Iowa. Dear unsure. The women may respond the way they do because they consider being called dear by a stranger to be overly familiar or even condescending. Other titles to avoid would be honey and young lady, if the woman appears to be past the age of 30. Be safe and respectful by addressing them as miss or ma'am.
Horoscopes by astrologer Georgia Nichols. Happy birthday for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. You are a strong individual with your own take on things. You have a great imagination and love to seek out stimulation and adventure. This is a powerful year for you. It's a year where you can attain accolades, praise, or promotions. You also might attain personal or financial gain. Expect achievements and rewards. It's time to alphabetize your blessings. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 3 stars. Today you might have an intense encounter with an authority figure, a parent, boss, teacher, or member of the police. If so, this encounter will be intense. You might feel overwhelmed by your feelings. Meanwhile, most of this day is a moon alert. Tread carefully. Tonight, talk to a friend. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 3 stars. Today it's easy to be obsessed with an idea, which is why it is wise to avoid discussions about politics, racial issues, and religion. Your emotions will be too strong. Feelings will run high, and arguments will ensue. Meanwhile, check the moon alert. Tonight, people notice you. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Because most of this day is a moon alert, avoid important decisions about shared responsibilities, shared money, taxes, debt, loans, and mortgages. This is not the day to discuss these matters. Forewarned is forearmed. Tonight, change your routine. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 3 stars. A discussion with someone close to you could be intense today. Both parties might feel obsessed and stuck in their own point of view or their desires. You might be at a standoff. Check the moon alert and postpone important decisions. Tonight, check your finances. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. Today, you're willing to work hard. You also might be focused on your health. However, it's easy to be obsessed with an idea today. Furthermore, most of this day is a moon alert. Bad combo. It's a poor day to make decisions, and someone is obsessed. Tonight, be cooperative. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. 2 stars. Difficulties with romance might arise today because people are intense, even obsessed. Meanwhile, today is a moon alert, which means it's a poor time to make a decision. And yet, feelings are running high. This also applies to sports and relations with your kids. You get the picture. Tonight, do some work. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 2 stars. Avoid intense discussions with family today because they will be pointless. Nevertheless, someone might be obsessed about something, which is hard to ignore. Because today is a moon alert, table these discussions for another day. Tonight, relax. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 3 stars. Don't try to convince someone to agree with you, no matter how intensely you believe that you are right. Today, everyone is inclined to be obsessed about something. Furthermore, today is a moon alert. Just coast for today. Tonight, cocoon at home. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. You have strong feelings about financial matters today, or something you own. However, this is a poor day to take a stand, because most of this day is a moon alert. Instead, take a breather. Allow this situation some space. Decide tomorrow. Tonight, stay calm. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 2 stars. Today, the moon is in your sign, lined up with Pluto, which will create an emotional experience for you. You might become obsessed about a particular idea, especially if you're dealing with a female. Note the moon alert today and lighten up. Wait until it's over. Tonight, protect possessions. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. Some deep secrets might be revealed today. This could be connected to an obsession you have or an intense kind of research. Do not be persuaded by information that is questionable. Most of today is a moon alert. Lighten up and get some perspective. Tonight, be reasonable. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. You might have an intense discussion with a friend or a group. You might be at loggerheads because each of you is obsessed with your point of view. Obviously, this will go nowhere. Therefore, and especially because most of today is a moon alert, back off. Tonight, stay calm.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the recording library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.